Welcome to the RR Podcast. We bring you the latest in Toku news, in-depth discussions, and everything else that you could ask for, all with a healthy dose of insanity. So here are your hosts, Shugun Shinobi, Dawson Rider, Jedimon, and Aerosol. Riders, Rangers, and Rambles, Season 5. Ready? Go!
Hello, welcome to our Season 5, Episode 6.
Tokyo, no go. It is not on this week, and it's happy. Because I'm like, oh man, I have to watch Tokyuger. And then I realize it doesn't exist this week, and I get that happy feeling, like when you realize you don't have to go to school or work, and then you're like, oh, watch a game. And then you get sad because it doesn't exist.
It's not that bad. Jesus Christ, it's not Forze.
It's like Mega Ranger, or a G-Ranger filler. I like that. Oh, who was it that said it to me? I love that. When I was talking about MMPR, it's like the same policy I follow with Tokyuger now. It's like, if it's within earshot, I watched it. I love that policy. Where is it? Where are you interacting?
You're just...
He has a Tokyuger avatar. That helps.
What about apps?
I don't know. I'm just mumbling to myself now. And someone's like, I'm having a tiny trampoline time right now.
It's Bella with her toy in the living room.
Oh, okay.
Note, it's obviously loud because I'm actually quite a distance from the living room. But anyway. Alright, so one-ups.
Onesies.
I don't do posts on my blog anymore, so I can't go to my blog.
It doesn't work anymore.
So I have to go to the pictures app on my phone.
What did I do this week? I forgot.
Poor squeaky toy. It's getting murdered. Not a whole lot. I got my Kiwami Lock Seed. That's about it.
It's the best thing I've ever played.
Brian celebrated by running around the house with that toy, squeaking it, just waving his hands in the air.
Like he just don't
came
care.
Came into the room. Bella, get out. She ran away. So I got that. That's really fun. Honestly, just another awesome game toy. Not that there's a whole lot that's bad, but... outside of that, a couple odds and ends with Transformers, but nothing too crazy. And just the normal Mario Kartness. I went to the Smash Fest on Saturday, and I got there early this time, so that was pleasant.
Did they perform you an All-Star?
No, unfortunately. And so that was fun. It's a lot more fun when you don't have to wait as long.
I know, right?
So it was pretty enjoyable. I did a ramble about it, complaining about how Best Buy is an awful place. But that is about it, so go for it.
Oh, let's see. For toys, I got my Ami Ami box yesterday, so that's fun. I'm still waiting on my Kiwami Lock Seed from CS Toys. Apparently their Turbo Cell doesn't come to me anymore, because their cell now takes like 2 weeks. But at least I have it. I haven't really bought anything else. I haven't been able to find anything else in person or anything like that. I finally started Season 2 of Orange is the New Black, and I have 4 episodes left, and I kind of want to savor them, because last time I was like, I only had to wait a month, and now I have to wait like forever for the next season. And I finished season 1 of MMPR, which ended in the most spectacular PR season finale of all time. Zach beats the vagina monster. And that's exactly how it went down.
In all fairness, vaginas are pretty scary.
It was a physical representation of Angela.
That's funny.
And I started season 2 today, and... when they got their Zords and Tommy didn't get one. He's like, here's your Zords, and that's everyone. And Tommy just looks down, all sad. Kim has to ask for him because he's so beaten down. Like, well, clearly he can't take it. I mean, look at his shield. It's flapping in the wind. And I was also thinking about sort of what we were talking about yesterday about the weird MMPR concepts, about how when Adam, Rocky, and Aisha took over, they just completely accepted that their dinosaurs turned into just animals. Like, oh yeah, so your mastodon is going to turn into a lion. Just shout that out. Oh, okay, makes sense. Like, during the training process, that made sense to them. I was just thinking about that. They weren't even there for the whole transition of, we need your old swords so we can get the new ones. Why? Because I don't have any other parts lying around. Just get them back. So funny. Anyway, that's pretty much been it.
I doubt they asked questions about it during the training process.
I bet they did. They probably asked how it could benefit children and charities and recycling. All of which I hate.
Okay, fuck your mother. I also received my Kiwami lock seed, and it makes me happy in my pants. And I have big news. I was finally able to purchase AC04 from Mandarake, so that's exciting to me. And I made it to the Saturday Smash Fest, and I had to bring a 3-year-old with me. Now, if anyone here has ever had to do that, it is not exactly like the kind of thing you want to do, because they don't really listen too well or stay still or handle the whole standing around in line thing very well. She did make friends with pretty much everyone else that was there in line with me, because that's just kind of what she does. And they had – I love like how they have the – I don't know. I guess they did this everywhere. The 3DS version, you could play it, and like the people were there with like 3DSs like padlocked to their pants. Did you experience that, Brian?
Yeah, I didn't actually get to play, because on Wednesday
they were kind of wandering around.
They were wandering wandering around the lines, and when we got inside finally, on Wednesday they went further back in the line and we were toward the front,
mm-hmm.
So they completely bypassed our section of the line, and then on Saturday. Yes, I know, it's an awful tale, Mimi. On Saturday, there was only one person there instead of two, and she was just stationed, like, right outside after you played the Wii U version, and you got out of their little corner. She was just standing there, and the Best Buy people were getting pissed because people were lining up near her to play the 3DS game. And so Best Buy was getting pissed. They're like, you can't form a second line. We have too many people in this corner. Blah, 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 Best Buy.
So that's actually how they talk. Best Buy. They said, blah, 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 Best Buy.
And that's what I heard when anyone in that store talked. So I didn't get to play the 3DS one at all. So that was a little bit unfortunate. But yeah, that's what they were doing. There was two people with two DSs each attached to their pants.
Like, yeah. Party's in here. That was the zipper, but it's like a laser zipper for some reason. In the future, we'll all have laser zippers.
Yeah, that's the dream. That's what we had. And
yeah, laser zippers, right?
No, we had the people with the pants, and so we go, and they were nice enough to let Kaylee play. So I had to show her how to pick a character and everything. She picked Mario. I did Mega Man. Just because I was going to go Greninja on the Wii U and I wanted to just do a different character. So I did Mega Man. He was pretty fun to play as. Once I got a hang of like his moves and how he operated, it was pretty good. Smash Run was a really fun mode. I enjoyed it quite a bit, and I'm looking forward to having a 3DS version to be able to play it like myself and just kind of explore different characters and everything else. And once we got towards the front of the line, she really started hollering, I want to play the game. I want to play the game. So she took my second turn, because you get to do 2 2-minute matches. And we so only let her. Oh, we were doing. They were doing for us 2 2-minute matches.
How many people were at yours?
I was there for 2 hours. Like, this is on Saturday. So there was like. It was. I'm trying to think.
Like, there was a pretty long line when I got there, but the line was a lot shorter when I was done.
That's generally how lines work, yes.
No, but, like... No, what I'm saying is, like, when I finished, the line itself was shorter than when I got there. Like, I could have gotten there a lot later and just been in and out in 5 minutes. Like,
well, you don't want to go to In-N-Out.
No, you don't. You don't.
They pee on the fries. I'm convinced.
Because we had probably at least 500 plus people at our store.
Jesus.
Oh, shit. No, I mean, when I was there,
that's 499 more people than I like around me.
Yeah, me too. No, we had like 50. Like, total. You know, I mean, it was...
Yeah.
It wasn't that...
On Wednesday when I was in line, there was about 300 people inside the store in line. And wow. Then our line outside was probably at least about 200 people. So
what was funny to me was awful. Some lady, these two ladies there, and they were like, something about, like, she saw the line, and she's, what did she say? She's like, I wonder what they're all in line for. Is this the same thing they were in line for when I came here on Wednesday? I'm like, really? How'd you manage to pick the 2 days of the week they're doing this to just come have you a shopping trip?
Why is there another reason why you would go to Best Buy 2 days in 1 week?
Return something that you just bought that previous time?
I don't know. Like,
oh crap, this DVD's 3 times less expensive at Target? All right, I'm taking it back. It's like ridiculous. It's like the old Borders prices. Well, you could buy this new movie for $11 at Target, or you could buy it for $45 at Borders or Barnes & Noble. It's the same thing. It's like all the month seasons there, $60.
I played Greninja. Seriously, I think every match that went on, people used Greninja. Like, there was at least one Greninja in every match. I managed to get the Smash Ball, and like I executed it fairly. I actually almost won. I executed it fairly well.
Spirit Evolution.
That's right. If I wouldn't have died with like 5 seconds left of the match, I would have gotten first. Except that it ended up in like a 3-way sudden death, and I couldn't find myself fast enough, like where I started, to not die, because like every other match, ours had a second Greninja, and I'm like, wait, which the fucking one? Where am I? What's happening?
Where am I? Oh shit!
Yeah, that's pretty much what it was like. But I mean, we just played on the battlefield stage. Kaylee's match when she played as Mario. They did the was it the one on the planes? Was it the pilot wings or whatever it is?
Yeah.
That looked pretty fun. I helped her a little bit to get the Smash Ball, and she was killing people. She got all excited. Like, that's right. Teach my child violence.
Yeah.
It was cool. She got the sticker and the button they were giving away, so she felt happy. Anytime a small child's happy means I don't have to deal with screaming and crying.
Just have to deal with that damn traffic all the way there. Tiny trucks passing us up.
Yeah.
Scottish people playing the bagpipes.
But I think that's it. I haven't really done anything else except go play the Smash Brothers. Now I really want it, like now.
I know.
Like it makes it worse. Like, you'd think, like, oh, cool, I got to experience it. No, I just want the game now. Like, fuck you, Sakurai. Give me the game.
It's clearly done. Rome in 2 years, I'm just saying.
Yes, a very buggy Rome in 2 years.
Yes, but it was Rome.
It was also a shitty game.
I like the game.
I don't.
I like Paul Blart. I just started shit now. good times.
I don't have anything, so... We can move on to the news.
Damn! I was hoping that detailed line story was going to be worth it when we got to aerosols. You know, line stories.
Right. Oh, anyway. Okay, so moving along to the news. Licensing Expo was this past couple days. I'm used to saying weekend, and it's not... not the weekend, but
I know, right?
Anywho, so we got actually a lot of cool stuff from it that I wasn't expecting.
A lot of cool movie things. I was.
Yeah, there's actually a lot of like neat little franchises that are trying to pop up.
They're trying like really hard.
Well, the thing about this stuff is that you never really know what's going to come out of it, because like it's the licensing expo is all just trying to pitch your franchise to marketers. So you never really know if it's one of those new ones, if it's going to take off and anything like that. I mean, Saban's over there trying to promote Digimon, which apparently is actually going to get the second half.
Yeah.
Which honestly surprised me, considering how poorly Fusion's doing with toys. But
yeah,
apparently it's going to air on Nicktoons. So
I'm glad that's happening. I'm completely fine if the third arc doesn't air.
Yeah, because it's just awful.
I like the designs of like the new Digimon guy, but God, it was boring. Oh, so boring.
So dumb, so dumb, so dumb.
But yeah, this year wasn't quite as exciting or controversial as the last 2 years, because last couple years we had, oh my God, they're skipping Gokaiger before they got to it. And then last year was everyone, oh my God, Gokaiger, how are they going to do it?
Plus there was Bearzilla.
And this year we kind of already knew about Dino Charge in advance. Like if we didn't, we would be getting that shit flip now instead of a few months ago. Aerosol wouldn't have overslept and missed Go Busters. But so yeah, it wasn't really anything too exciting from Power Rangers. I mean, they changed what Parasagon Prisms or whatever to Energems.
Yeah. And the main bad guy's name is Sledge.
Sledge. It reminds me of...
It's apparently, going off of the teaser trailer's Chaos. But we'll see how that pans out. Chaos doesn't seem very bounty hunter-like, but I'm fine with it. I mean, whatever. It is what it is.
The name Sledge kind of reminds me of that Josh's black inmate guy from Drake and Josh movie called Bludge. That's the only thing I could think of. This is Bludge. He's my roommate. But I don't know. I was kind of expecting him to be the bounty hunter.
Yeah, I was expecting it too. It didn't.
I thought it probably would have been neat if some people thought what happened would be Darkbuster, which could have been cool because it does kind of have that look.
And we did finally get the Dino Charge story, so that was that was good.
But I didn't expect. There was a lot of people who kept saying how they thought a lot of Charger's villains will get cut, and I don't know why.
I
just couldn't think of any good reasons of why they would think that. I mean, I guess you could do original base footage, but I just don't know why they would think certain people would get cut.
Oh, I know why. Because people are fucking stupid, that's why.
Exactly.
Because they're too creepy for children.
Oh, and Gaim confirmed for... I think he's the real bounty hunter. The Dino Charge Rangers are going to be hunted by Gaim.
So those he's of you that writer. Are confused, Ranger Crew made note that in the marketing teaser... He said it was, like, space with the Dino Charge team and then Kamen Rider Gaim, which leads me to believe they tossed the Superhero Time bumper footage into this marketing teaser.
That's, like, really funny.
I can't believe that.
Like, I remember he tweeted something out, like, right after he first saw their presentation, saying there's one clip that will cause a lot of talking. And I assumed maybe there was some sort of Go Busters thing. Of some sort of villain or Morpher or something. But then it ended up just being that they just left Gaiman there. Like, it's pretty hard to find. There's not an abundance of footage of Kyojin and Gaim together, so it's kind of funny. And for a second I was like, oh my God, they're going to adapt the crossover or something. And then I was like, oh wait, that was Tokyojin. But that's pretty funny. I kind of want to see what that looks like. I hope they show it at Morphicon. That'd be great. We can just jump up and start cheering like they did when the Legend War happened. Yeah, Gaim!
That's funny.
He put up as far as I know, they weren't allowed to record anything, but he got a couple like screen captures. And one of them was supposedly like the Energems. There was like a green one and it was like broken. And as far as I can tell, that's new footage. From what I gather, that wasn't from anything, so that's a little bit interesting, I think.
They found generic green gem B-roll. They just like they just searched it and found it. You never know when you're going to need it.
I must have missed that shot. I don't remember seeing it.
And then he did get a snapshot of a couple of the toys and just the figure and the Morpher, which is going to be the Gabba revolver. And
that makes me kind of happy. Like,
I mean, I could see why people were speculating about it, but I never really saw them using it as a big deal. Like, because it's an obvious gun, but it's not. Like, it's so dinosaur-y, for lack of a better word, that it's just, it doesn't look like a realistic gun. Like, at all.
It's so toy, you can't even handle it.
And it has the little orange tips on the nostrils, but it's not really quite as noticeable as, you know, like, Super Mega Blaster or whatever.
It just kind of looks like it's had a cold, and it blew its nose a lot, and it's a little bit...
It needs the Nasonex battery.
And the picture shows Dodi Kedra as purple.
Everyone's freaking out. Oh my god, I can't believe they did that bastardized purple. What's the speculation, the reasoning? Prototypes. Every year we do this. We do this dance every year, people. I'm tired of dancing.
Yeah. It's I don't like want to dance with you either.
Even without the purple arm, it's an obvious prototype.
The figures look... Or the figure, they only showed one. Yeah. Looks nice.
Looks like they're keeping in the same line. Those listings that Raz found says that they... In the assortment, it says Legendary Rangers. So I'm hoping that means that we'll just...
More MMPR.
Well, we'll finish out what we're getting now. Because we're kind of running out of time. For Super Mega Force. So that would be nice if they continued it and maybe... You know, finished what they showed previously for Super Mega Force. Maybe do a few more sixths, but I hope it doesn't mean MMPR. I mean, there might be some more figures coming from that, but I mean,
I think they're probably pretty much done. Considering we got red, we got green, we got white, and those are the only Rangers in the history of Power Rangers.
Well, they could do a Viscale red with shield.
Yeah, but I. They could release one, but it kind of makes the legacy one they're releasing redundant.
But we're still doing the red and green and white.
I know, I don't get it.
There's so many of them. And then you also have the large armor trans ones. It's like there's so many MMPR figures. But I do hope they continue the Legendary Rangers in this form, because tons of other toy lines intermingle the current... Yeah. Toy offerings with older things. It's not like not a common practice.
Yeah, and I'd like to see at least all the reds and all the sixes get proper releases by the time Dino Charge is done. It would make a nice display.
At the very least, finish the ones they showed us.
Yep.
But so that's nice.
And a couple other things from the toy notes. trying to remember off the top of my head because I don't have them in front of me anymore. The gun is supposed to be able to read the Dino Chargers, which are the Judenchi. They have four sides instead of two, according to the listings. The sword is going to have a deluxe version. It lights up and folds up and can combine with the gun just like the Japanese one.
Cool, cool, cool.
Other than that, There wasn't a whole lot that was.
It said that the, unless I'm remembering it wrong, that the Zords that come with figures have 5-inch figures now.
Oh yeah, yeah. Did I read that right? It was saying that, and because it kept saying articulated 5-inch figure, which makes me believe that these are going to be a little bit more expensive. But
which I'm just happy to have a better quality figure with it. Like,
I mean, you don't like those figures that come with the Zords?
No,
they're like the best thing ever.
Like. Bandai of America gets a lot of unnecessary shit, but it's like people never focus on the things that are actually shit. Like, for the lowered price, all the Morphers and Megazords are completely fine, but I never see people really going after the actual crap things in the line, which are those crappy bike figures. They're terrible.
It's awesome. It's like, those figures are monocolored, and they're in a complete, like a taking a shit pose. What's wrong with that?
Worst. But I just I hope that that's true and it ends up being cool. Because that's the way it kind of used to be. They used to have the figures with the 5-inch version. Or the cycles with the 5-inch figure, I mean. So, that's neat.
Brian wants a Dino Chaser army.
I do. The cycles are obviously still a thing, and they specifically mention the fact that there's going to be the cycle mode, and that there's can split into two dinosaurs. So obviously they're going to kind of continue the Dino Chaser gimmick with the cycle splitting into two. But this isn't like the Japanese line. They're not just going to release one cycle.
Yeah.
So this is actually kind of one of the things I'm most looking forward to, is seeing what they do, if they're just going to throw out recolors, or if we're going to get like an army of different molded Dino Chaser pieces. And I think there's a lot of cool possibilities with that. Especially if you start tapping into like the other Raptor-esque Dudenshi. I mostly just want something to represent Oviraptor. So those are kind of exciting. Obviously Parasagon and Zactor and stuff are going to be the Zord vehicles, which are apparently not vehicles anymore. They just list them as Dino Zords or whatever. So it'll be interesting to see how everything works. We might get some more shots at Comic-Con. If not, I definitely feel like they're going to be at Morphicon like the Megaforce toys were.
Yeah,
considering they already had some pictures in this video, we'll probably get some at both.
Right.
We'll probably get that marketing trailer and the toys and the glass case and the suit actors running around taking pictures of Dawson Subway Cup.
Oh, yes. I'm going to get two Subway Cups this year. Upping the ante. Guys, can I borrow one of your Subway Cups? Asking for a friend. I remember Brian here. Can you just take these? We just hand them all these Subway Cups. Thanks.
He went to the Beetleborgs panel with him too.
I did. A couple of things that Raz found was a legendary morpher with 20 keys.
Probably 20 Red Rangers.
Which is, yeah, we're speculating just the 20 Red Rangers from the key packs.
I'm hoping it's just exactly what it sounds like, and it's not like a special edition or it has something different about it that makes me want to buy it.
20 Tommies.
20 Tommies. So that's a thing, and then another thing was it's a 3-pack Megazord thing. I assume it's probably just going to be Legendary Megazord, the Q-Rex Megazord, and the Falcon Turbo thingy.
Kind of like they did with Samurai. Together.
Yeah, because those are the only three things you need to make what is essentially their ultimate formation, Kanzengoku. So that's what it's probably going to end up like.
But this time I'll call it the Leg Megazord, or the Ultimate Leg Megazord, or whatever it is.
Sure.
But that's about it for that. A couple other cool things at the licensing expo. Koichi Sakamoto is working on a South Korean-produced toku show called Gunblade. And there's a little kind of pilot clip on YouTube that was actually really cool. And it looks neat. They're supposedly trying to get someone in the U.S. to pick it up so that it can be labeled as a Power Rangers ripoff, just like everything else. But I think it could be cool. It'll be interesting to see if they try to sell it, which I believe they are, as just like a South Korean produced show, and probably have to lead to dubbing it. But regardless, if it's going to come out obviously in Korea a lot earlier than it would ever come out here, so I kind of hope a subgroup picks it up, because it did look really cool. I had trouble with the fact that it was not in Japanese or English. Yeah, right. I'm not used to watching Korean shows. So.
Brian said Korean is weird at least 5 times.
I did. It's not, I've listened to a lot of Korean music, though, so I'm slightly familiar with it, but it wasn't as weird as when I tried to watch that Garuda show. Pitsuma Beach, whatever the fuck it's called.
You're just making up stuff now.
That thing. Dawson really liked that little mini squad or mini force or whatever.
It was like stuff. These tiny adorable things turning into Power Rangers. It pushed so many of my buttons.
At least something does.
It was. I don't know what it's going to be on or anything about it other than the picture I saw. But it looked funny. I also saw a little banner for a new Batman series, Batman Unlimited. Unlimited possibilities before you're canceled by Cartoon Network. That'll run 13 episodes.
And then get pushed to Adult Swim.
I don't know, like... Oh, I don't know any of the behind-the-scenes stuff that leads to these, but I just don't understand, like, the decisions behind certain things. When you already have something that's sort of semi-established, especially before the Batman was so new. Like, it just premiered, and they practically decided to cancel it before it just came out. And now they already got another one in the works. It's the same thing with Earth's Mightiest Heroes. Granted, I wasn't a huge fan of the second season, but they already had an Avengers cartoon established at the time the Avengers was popular. Why did they need to make a new one? I'm just getting mad now, and no one's even saying anything, so I'm just mad alone. Is anybody even here?
No. We're all gone. Was there anything else noteworthy? That was about all I was following.
Yeah, I didn't follow much. I just saw some, like, random pictures that were taken of things. I saw like a picture of the Yu-Gi-Oh! Booth they showed Arc 5 guy. There's going to be a Yu-Gi-Oh! Movie, apparently. No, I'm kind of sad. It's not live action, at least not what I heard. That'd be funny if it was live action. It'd be funny to see. We could do that. Then they need to pull out that magazine Kiefer found and just do all those casting choices. I don't remember what they were, but they were hilariously awesome. Yeah, I think that's pretty much it. It wasn't really that big of a deal this year. Like I said, the last couple of years it's been pretty. It was pretty, like, exciting just to watch people's reactions to it.
Yeah.
Like that one year, they're like, "My God, they're skipping it." Gokaiger lost season threat established like 3 seconds in, and then last year was like they couldn't figure it out. So wait, they're gonna be the power ups? Everyone was just trying to wrap their head around it for like months. But Troy can't be marvelous. No, he's going to ruin Joe. Joe's face is going to be replaced in all history. There was really none of that this year. Although I'm fully prepared this year, or 2015, next year, for the half the comments are going to be MMPR ripoff, and the other half are going to be you're ruining my precious Kyoryuger. So get ready for that in 2015. Charge up the hate.
Let's see. The last Hyper Hobby issue had an interview with Michi's actor. In a nutshell, Michi hates himself, and he completely understands, like, how people feel, and he loves it, and it's fantastic. And then silence struck.
Oh, I just wanted payback. That's what I wanted. Well, I didn't read it. I did read the headline where it said, or the headline of the article I saw where it said he doesn't want Michi to be redeemed. That's all I saw.
Yeah, pretty much.
I really couldn't see anything like that really happening outside of some sort of possible gesture, but no, I don't see him being, like, redeemed.
Yep. I like the part where he said that he was worried about how kids were going to react to him now. And apparently the kids still like him.
But he's a really good actor, and I get really frustrated with the people that, like, hate Michi. Like, not like our hate where we, like, love to hate him and, like, he's a good character. Like, they hate, like, they want him off the show. Like, they wanted him off the show, like, because he's doing such a good job at it, but they're missing the point of his character. It's like those people that don't want anything to ever go wrong in the shows. They want everyone just to walk around and eat cake. But I just – those people frustrate me. It's like you're missing the point. Like so much of the tension would be gone if they just wrote him off 20 episodes ago.
I also like one of the questions was, is you're quite the villain now. Did you know this from the beginning? And he said, I'd been told that he'd become bad. That's why I try to have a higher tone of voice and have a good guy vibe at the beginning. So they at least kind of clued him in a little bit, and I do like that. We've mentioned that a couple times in our discussions, how he just does a great job of bouncing back and forth between, like an uppity, friendly little guy and then a backstabbing little son of a bitch.
Like, I figured he had to have known, because there was lots of little, you know, subtle things that he did with his performance very early on, which is what got us on the whole, hey, Michi might be a creeper thing, like on episode 2. Like, just certain little looks or mannerisms. It's just, so he had to have known something. Either that or the dude's just creepy in real life. What if the guy, the actor, is also secretly just like Michi?
I like how the interview kind of spins off for a tiny little chunk about his Febreze commercial. Because apparently Japan really like has some in-depth commercials, and like this Febreze like line of advertisements, like this story about his character.
Hey, it's character in the Febreze commercial.
I think we're talking about commercials.
I did think it was funny. It's not cute.
That's a weird word to say.
Brian saw the picture of him smiling, and he's like, "That's cute."
It's a good little interview thingy.
Thank you, Brian. So the last bit of news is that our favorite actor JDF is invading San Diego Comic-Con, but he's going there as part of Saban Brands and Lionsgate thing, according to the little like advertisement poster they have, digital poster. A lot of people are speculating what it means. I mean, the Lionsgate things make you think, but we do have Super Megaforce coming up. Like, when Comic-Con is happening, Super Megaforce is airing in the fall, so he very well could be there just to promote that.
Right.
But people obviously led to a lot of talk whether if it was anything to do with Dino Charger or the movie. And I'm not saying I think that it's either, but I just want to say that if I had to pick, I would pick Dino Charge, just because I want the movie to be a fresh start, and I don't want it to have anything to do with the current continuity. So that's all.
I agree. I understand people talking about how they would rather him be in the movie because it's not as long. But at the end of the day, I really do want this movie to be so independent of the television series. And, like, him being there as Tommy in this movie would just kind of ruin... It's supposed to be a reboot from what everything was marketed as. It's supposed to be a reboot. It's not like a continuation of Mighty Morphin or anything like that. So, logically, he should not be there whatsoever.
Yeah, I want it to be separate, kind of like, you know, the Transformers movies or the Turtles movies. There's a totally separate deal from whatever series happened to be airing. It's not related to each other. And we forgot to mention, but in Saban's thing at the License Expo, they talked a little bit about the movie, and they said that the first movie is going to focus on origins, and then they're planning multiple movies. So I guess we don't know where they're going. We don't know whether they're going to do the retelling of the whole Zordon Alpha original five, or if they did bring him in, whether it would just be a new group type deal that takes place in the same universe. But I would rather have it be Dino Charge if it was anything. In universe, it would make sense if he was somehow involved. I mean, Tommy likes dinosaurs now.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. It could just be that he's not involved in either, and they're just using his superstar fame, because he's best in the world, to advertise their movie reboot. So we'll see.
And Megaforce is still coming up. I assume the Megaforce cast will be there too, so maybe he'll be at the panel. Oh, no, he doesn't appear with other Rangers. Is it true he won't even take pictures with them? Like, with other Rangers?
He's taken several pictures with Walter Jones and stuff.
Like, because there was people on the Facebook Rangers that were posting about Denver Comic-Con about why he was never by David Yost and Walter Jones, and why he wasn't at the MNPR panel. And someone said it was because he refuses to appear with other Rangers. Like, I knew he had a thing with Austin St. John, but it does seem weird that he wouldn't appear with them at all.
Yeah, I haven't heard that, like, in that manner, anyway.
I know he's, like, pimping the shit out of Jason Font and Steve Cardenas.
Yeah, don't.
And he's done a couple Johnnies. But I didn't think, because I've seen him, I think, in pictures before with David Yost. He was, like, going out to dinner, and it's like David Yost and a bunch of other Ranger people. So I don't know. It just seemed funny to me that would happen. Especially, I guess I haven't seen him, or at least heard of any panels that he's been in that involved other people in a while, that I recall.
That is true. I haven't really...
Because I know, like, at MorphinCon...
He did several last year.
With other people?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, I just, like,
well, I mean, last year is in, like, 2013, not...
Oh, okay.
I didn't hear of a whole lot in 2014.
No. I mean, I don't pay like a whole lot of attention.
Yeah, I don't keep up with his shenanigans or anything.
But I was just kind of curious because I know at Morphicon 2, he had his own panel, but then he was also at other panels. But unless it's in my feed, I really don't see it. But I was just kind of curious if like
was
he was the total dude.
Ranger board or
what are you talking about?
That you said you were reading a thread about Denver Comic Con.
Oh, no, it was just a Facebook Rangers post. It was people that were at Denver Comic Con. Like, someone posted a video from or it was a video or a picture, of like a Vine video of MNPR panel, and it had Walter Jones and David Yoser, and someone asked why JDF wasn't there, and somebody answered that it was because he refused to appear with other Rangers. Maybe he got tired of telling that fly story. About how, did you really put the fly in David Yoser? Yes!
It was a while ago, but we got confirmation from the guy that ran SuperCon that that he quit because Austin St. John signed on, which is just, it's so childish. It is.
Yeah, it really is. Because the way he's describing it, too, is like, we could have just put him at separate ends of the convention thing. And what he said that Austin didn't care. I also, in one of the posts, because there was a bunch of different people that were at Denver Comic Con, someone asked why Austin didn't go, and I don't know if it was true, but someone said that he wanted to, but obviously he couldn't.
Yeah.
Because JDF would run away texting the show promoter, like, how dare you do this to me? Betrayed!
That's about it this week.
Yeah.
Thankfully, I completely forgot about Licensing Expo, so.
Yeah, thankfully there's a little bit to talk about, since we have kind of a slow week.
So, since Superhero Time was not on because of a magical thing called golf,
we watched a movie.
We are going to be discussing the Gaiman Wizard movie, because it is the most recent thing out.
Well, technically, the other Wizard movie came out around the time, in terms of subs. It was
but
like
I
one of the longest...
Watch it.
Well, it's like one of the... I was just commenting on how long it took for it to get subbed. It was like, I think, one of the longest times we've had.
I still don't know why that took so long. Like,
I don't know. Like, maybe they just kept forgetting it was a thing, because the longer it took it to get subbed, I kept forgetting it was a thing.
I think it was just lack of interest.
Probably. Meow. Maymay likes it. Anyway. So, yeah. The movie. I really liked the wizard part.
Well, I figured we would just talk about each part.
Yeah, so I guess talk about the wizard part. I like the wizard part. I wasn't in the wrong. Why are you arresting me? Are you a cop? I'm sorry. Yeah, it's going through a lot right now.
What are you talking about?
I don't know. I'm not sure. Sometimes I just go. And then I sit there and think, what is this man saying? Oh, wait, that's me. Anyway, but I liked the wizard part of it. It was probably the only part I really liked about it. I actually have been enjoying... the past few years, a little part that had to do with the previous year's writer, because this kind of acts as a nice little almost epilogue to the series. I forgot what I was going to say. I lost my thought now. Somebody else say something.
I didn't like it at all.
Really?
Well, here's the thing. Like, I think it was great if you were invested in the whole plot with Koyomi in Wizard. And I wasn't at all. So you got this part, and it's just like, oh, Koyomi, ring, attachment, letting go, etc. And I didn't really give a shit.
I did. I gave at least one shit.
I really didn't care about what was happening in this part of the movie. Or any part of the movie, really.
Like, it's not like Gaim, where I'm so invested in the story that I'm thinking about it, but I'm invested enough that I cared about the part.
I didn't.
I definitely have a more positive outlook on Wizard than Brian does, but I agree with him. I didn't like this part of the movie.
In the context of the rest of the movie, it was amazing.
I don't think so.
The rest of the movie was trash. It was just stupid. Oh, let's bring in all the writers again. For no reason.
But it had a reason.
It had a reason in the plot, but they didn't need to make a plot that involved them. They could have done something else.
Like, they didn't even play a part. They were just there.
That's exactly right. They don't need to be there. They're just suits. That's all they are anymore.
So, hold on. Would you, so much for this part discussion thing. Would you...
I just love it because it's like you guys are arguing back and forth. And I'm just like, well, I agree with... Oh, no, okay, go. No,
you should just
I
take Tom's
with...
part.
Oh, okay.
Just take Tom's role. Well, I think Brian makes some good points, but so does Dawson.
So would you have been
I
okay
really
with
know
the...
how to sit on a fence.
If you replaced the writers with nameless Japanese people, you would have been better with it.
Yes. It still would have been a crappy movie, but it wouldn't have upset me so much. Because the whole... There's no reason for all of the Hesse writers or Showa writers to be in every single movie. There's no reason for it. Like, I get that. I know what you're saying, that the plot revolved around the writers' like wars. I get that. But, I mean, there's no reason that every time they sit down and make one of these movies that they need to figure out a way to include every writer. Even though they're just – that's exactly right. They're just suits. They're not. There's no value in them being there other than, hey, look, they're standing on screen again and fighting each other. It's no fun anymore. You know I don't like this part. It's the worst.
I know, that's why I'm looking forward to arguing with you.
Like, I'm okay with them doing a movie war that involves this year's cast and last year's cast. Because that's not really any different from a Sentai Versus. That's fine. But every year they try to include something dumb. Last year it was Inazuman that pissed me off. Like, why do we need this mutant in here? And this year, it was just all the writers. It just annoys me. Like, I hate that whole concept. It's no longer special. It's just dumb. There's no reason for it.
I mean, I can't say that I disagree with the fact that there's no reason for it, but it was such a trivial part that
it's
the fact that it's like scarring the entire portion of the movie for you, I think, is hilarious.
Well, but like I said, if it had just been nameless Japanese people, I still would have thought it was pretty boring and I really wasn't into the storyline. But the fact that they had to put the other Hesse writers in it pissed me off, like, to the concept of it. It's just so stupid because what. Years ago, before I got into the Togu fandom and became a cynical dick, I used to look forward to team-ups with the Rangers or like a once-a-Ranger thing. It used to be something special that only came around once in a while. But now it's just vomited on us, and I'm tired of getting vomited on by Hesse writers and Showa writers that don't need to be there. It's so dumb. Because the whole value in team-ups is seeing your favorite characters back and seeing funny and interesting interactions with new characters, not just seeing their suits there fighting each other. I don't get the appeal of, oh my god, they're going to fight. Okay. It's dumb, and I'm getting mad like at how dumb it is.
They didn't fight a whole lot. It was just Bujin guy killing everyone.
Well, yeah, but your face. No, but I just don't like it. And this one in particular, like the last couple of years, they did try to shoehorn people in, but they didn't have all the other Hesse writers in the last two movies, did they? Ultimatum and the other one, Mega Man, Mega Max. Like,
Super Fighting Rider. Do-do-do-do.
Like,
no, they have been bringing back just the ones from Double Onward.
But, yeah.
Not all of the Heisei Whiters, yeah, Whiters.
Whiters.
I'm just going to talk like a baby for the rest of the cast.
Yes. But Andy's afraid. Sorry, immediately think of The Office. Think your baby voice is top notch. No, but anyway. But, you know, like I mentioned a minute ago, they are shoehorning people into the other movies, but at least they were more about the other two. Like, I felt like last year's Wizard and Forze got at least equal halves. This one felt like it was Wizard's half, and then Gaim got basically smushed into the second half. And he didn't really get his own little movie. It was all about the stupidness. But it was terrible. I didn't hate it, I just don't like it at all, and it's terrible.
What do you mean by smushed into
like,
this thing? Gaim's entire thing is like about a feudal war.
Like Wizards, last year's movie had Wizard's story and Forze's story, and then they collided. This one felt like I didn't feel the distinct split between parts 2 and 3. Like I felt like Gaim's was just all one part, like because he was smushed with the other writers, and there was just smushing and a lot of crunching noises, and it was just annoying.
I can kind of understand that. Because the past few years have been standalone story, crossover story. And this year it was standalone story, and then Gaim for a little while, and then Wizard sort of comes in towards the end.
Because Wizards almost felt like a Pikachu's Vacation movie you watched before the movie started. Because it was so disconnected, all Wizard do was worry about the bitches. No, but all Wizard did was, just fall through a portal, and he's like, "Oh, hey, look, I found my way into this movie."
He was chasing after Nito, who got
Wizard
eaten.
Haruto keeps finding himself like accidentally in a crossover, like in this one and like the Decade one. Like he's just kind of like, "How do I get myself into these situations?"
So jumping back to the wizard portion.
I just love how it's like long silence and then Brian's like, "So getting back to the point."
This is why we're not recognized. Let's talk about it part by part. The whole movie was trash.
Okay, what did you like about it? Yes, the wizard part.
About like the second half that I hated?
No, the wizard part, the first part of this movie, the part that you liked.
To be honest, I can't remember a lot of specific details. I thought it was a nice sort of, like I said at the beginning, I thought it was a nice epilogue to the series, and I said how I like that they've sort of done that for the last few. We had it with Oz and a bit about, you know, Edgy and Ankh, and then Forze with stupidness. And, they've all been sort of nice epilogues, and it felt like a nice little epilogue. Take a shot after I say epilogue to the series.
Are you going to ignore how little it made sense?
Did Wizard make sense? Does Kamen Rider make sense?
Like, it made an extra dose of not sense. Okay.
Maybe if you tell me about it, I'll remember.
He falls into despair, right? And he's all like, "Oh no, despair."
Oh, that part where he went into himself,
and
that was
so fucker
that was
faces,
like magic masturbation.
Ring, pui pui, whatever, was all like, "Oh, I'm gonna sound obnoxious," and all of a sudden, bam, Haruto is there again. He's
I like
to
scan
the
ring
inside myself. And so he goes inside of himself. And I would like to just point out how absurd the concept of I'm going to leave this ring with herself inside myself.
It's his underworld, though, which I'd like to assume is just his colon. But but it's definitely weird, but I liked it more than the rest of the movie. The wizard movie, the other wizard movie, was better than the whole thing. But I liked it. It's not like I'm saying – I don't say it was amazing or anything, but I liked it. It was better than the rest of the movie.
I had actually forgotten about pretty much the whole ending to Wizard's part until Brian mentioned it.
So
the
did
whole,
I.
Like summoning himself somehow and then going inside of himself and then leaving the ring with Koyomi inside of himself. It was kind of messed up.
He left herself inside of himself.
Inside of you. Sung by Russell Brand right now. But I did kind of think the scene was cool where he was fighting the Phantom and like they had all those scenes playing from the series, though. That was cool. And I liked the Wizard soundtrack. Look, I'm finding things.
I didn't really like that either.
The soundtrack, it's got a good score.
The soundtrack, the fighting in his memories. They were stupid memories. Oh, let's fight in the scene which he gets a stupid French hat.
Brian, you're so against Wizard, you can't even like the French hat.
I really don't like Koyomi.
I think if those scenes had a better build-up, they could have had... I think the payoff could have been better So I kind of agree with both of you again.
Thanks, Tom.
I can understand why Brian wouldn't like them, because the whole time I was just sitting there like, if we just had better build up with this movie, these scenes would feel more meaningful.
Like that was my problem, is throughout watching the show, like the build up to Koyomi's like entire existence just didn't really matter, because she was never fleshed out as a character to the point where I would care.
That's because she was made of stone.
She was a doll.
She was a husk. She was like corn.
I would say that this kind of suffers from the same thing that the Skull movie from a few years back suffered from. That's not to say that the Skull movie was necessarily bad, or that I didn't enjoy it, but it felt like a movie that was shortened for the sake of putting it into the whole like movie wars thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where if this would have been longer, had it not felt as rushed as it kind of did, I think it could have been better. As it is, it just felt like kind of a shorter vignette before the main feature. Kind of like how Dawson said, it was sort of a "Hey you Pikachu" kind of thing.
Or, hey, no, you, that's Haruto. A video game. I like the "Hey you" part though. It sounds funny when it's "Hey you Haruto."
So it felt a little more insignificant compared to the rest of the movie, just because it's, I don't know, it felt like something that should have been longer was condensed and shoved in front of a different movie.
That basically sums it up. Like, there's a huge disconnect between the two. I will agree with that completely.
Like, even last year had the little kids where Aerosol's like, I hope the fat kids birth. And then they ended up being the older kids from Forza. At least there was like a little bit of connection there where you felt like it was part of one movie. The fat kids birth. That was so good. And then the love interest ended up being Donut Guy. That was amazing. And Haruto just eating a donut walking in. But yeah. But in conclusion, yeah. No. In conclusion, Recall Schmeekall. No, I can't end it on Recall Schmeekall. That'd be ridiculous.
Lots of Parks and Rec jokes in this episode. Yeah.
But
was there anything you liked about the other part?
I like Bujangaim's suit a lot. I hate that whole concept. Like, if they can find a way to make a movie with all the Hesse writers in it and make it mean something, then I'll enjoy it. But now, for now, it's just frivolous and it's stupid. I just don't see the need to jam them into every movie. And they're not even trying to sell products with all of them anymore. I don't understand it.
Like, I'm going to lead into the same fucking argument again. I know it. Like,
let's go.
I get you completely. But they were... all their purpose was is to be representations of the fact that they were in a feudal era.
It's like the principle of it, Brian. It's the principle of it. The fact that they thought they needed to include all those assholes in it.
They didn't.
They did. They were there. I saw them. I seen it.
They were there because it was a nicer representation of a feudal time period than using random Japanese people. Because everyone would go, oh, hey, look, the writers are fighting instead of random Japanese people.
But in reality, random Japanese people did do that stuff, not common writers.
That's why it's different. No one likes reality.
You got me there.
It felt like there was more to that sentence, and he just kind of cut it off at reality.
But I just don't like the concept of it. They need to do something different. For Gaim versus Drive, I don't want to see anybody before Gaim. I don't want to see Wizard or Forze or Oz or anybody. I don't want to see some other weird other Toku hero they're trying to bring back, but it's not going to work out, but they just can't let it go. but they just keep trying.
Points to Cher Van Scheider movie.
Even I apparently the Gavin or the it's like guy, he was just in there. He's a robot. Damn it, Kikider. He apparently didn't do so well in the box office.
No, he didn't.
I haven't seen the movie yet. I can't say it's bad or anything, and I'm going to watch it. But I'm just saying, all of their attempts to reboot their old heroes that clearly aren't around for a reason aren't working out so well. Did you ever think they got canceled for a reason? Just saying. This is a whole other argument.
If I might continue to sit on my fence, I like the concept. I like the concept of using writers as, you know, these feuding groups. I think it's neat. I do agree that there is it does take away from it when we've had sort of like a bunch of writers in all of the movies for the past however many years. I can't say if that's necessarily a slight against the movie per se, as more so than what are the words I'm trying to think of? Just like our view of it. You know, we are tired of the many writers being shoved into it. That it makes what is actually a pretty neat little concept feel less so.
You know what they could have done? Since Gaim's essential part was the dance competition at the beginning, for 3 seconds, they should have just thrown away that whole idea and just had the entire second half been Gaim's alternate universe. And why not have the individual armies be represented by Gaim riders? There's certainly enough of them. Then I would have been fine with it, because it's all about the current and the previous series, and there's nothing to do with all these people that have no business there. They have plenty of riders to do something like that. And that's sort of what Gaim is like anyway. They all had different teams. Why not that?
Admittedly, okay. That is also a cool concept.
It could have worked better, and I wouldn't have been as mad. I just don't need to see Agito and Blade fight again. I don't know why they're even squabbling. Like, in this one, I get it. I know the concept was there, but I don't get the appeal anymore of, hey, I wonder what happened if these two fought. I don't.
There were a couple of amusing bits with the actors that did return.
Fucking Nago was there. Haven't seen his black ass in ages.
As well as I'm blanking on his name. Teroi and Akiko.
Oh yeah,
being an old married couple, essentially.
Date was in it too, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Oh yes, he was.
I thought it was fitting that they made him Nobunaga, just given the O's movie. Yeah.
He was pretty awesome. He died in a blaze of glory. Literally, he had like a fucking gun. I'm like, sir, you are cheating.
Brian said that in like a Batman voice.
He had a fucking gun.
That was more like the scared straight smoking commercial voice. Like,
I used to be pretty. Now I'm a bald mutant.
Oh, fuck. I better not smoke. Anyway. There was one thing I did like, which actually it was more the idea than the execution. But I liked the idea, what it seemed like they were going for, of having the four main writers somehow have a special connection to the writer they were going to be arm changing into. But that didn't really work out, because they only had a couple of them. Like, Baron led O's army, and, you know, Gaim was tight with Wizards people. But then, like, Zangetsu just, like, found doubles and then tosses it over. So I liked the idea behind that, if that would have been more of a fleshed out idea of the reason that they arm changed into that is because they had a certain connection to those armies. But they really didn't go all the way through with it.
They arm changed into those because Zangetsu decided to give Ryugen doubles.
Exactly. Like, there was, it was like half completed. Like, if they would have had more time in there, and for whatever reason each of the writers had a distinct connection to whatever writer they're representing, it could have been kind of neat. Because then the writer...
Unfortunately, Michi was taken out of everything about halfway through it. Well, and Takatora didn't do much.
And Michi was in... It's funny because how early this takes place in terms of where the characters were, because Michi was in the whole like sidekick with a bit of creepiness, I'm going to toss Kota stuff because he's my friend. And Takatora was in the, hey, I don't want to be in this show phase, where he like would like make brief cameos. And it was really weird to see Michi like that, because I remember at the beginning of the series, his whole bit was, Kota-san! And then he would just throw him stuff. And now it's like, Kota-san! Tossing him bullets. So that was, it's always kind of funny when you come back to that, because we see the movie so much later. But in this one in particular, it was noticeable because the characters changed so much more than average.
It was really weird for me. Like, I'm sitting here watching this movie, and it starts off with the dance groups. And I'm like, oh yeah, that was a thing. And like Michi's all smiling and friendly, and I'm like, that was a thing too. And like just throughout this entire movie, he's just so friendly, and I'm like sitting here going, he's gonna backstab all of you at some point. Watch, and then it never happens because I'm like, this wasn't a thing yet. And I like how of all of the people, Michi is the one that had the blood orange lock seat at the end of this movie. It's not going to amount to anything, I don't think, but I still found it funny that instead of, like, Kota or Kaito or anyone, it was fucking Michi that got it.
Oh.
Blood. Michi and blood. His two favorite things. Himself and blood.
But as far as the game portion in general, I don't know. I just liked it. It was a thing. I don't really have a reason to, honestly. But I liked the extra characters. Ieyasu was annoying as shit, but and whatever the fuck ninja chick's name was, she was nice. But I really dig the concept of Kaito leading an army and just kind of going, I like this world. I can lead an army. I'm strong. Even though he probably would have got his ass handed to him by Bujinganim later and would have died. But I also like the concept of Kota being so dead set on saving Michi. Because like one of the lines in the movie was, we can't just leave Michi. I'm like, it would have saved you a lot of problems, dude. you would have been home free. But nope, you had to save him.
You would have never got shot and wound up sleeping in a tree.
But they saved Beast, so I guess it's worth it.
You just mentioned his name and now I forgot it. The guy who was the general of Wizard's Army.
Ieyasu.
Yeah. I guess he was in there to sort of, you know, throw people off. So you didn't have, like, a familiar character that you knew would just be, like, a good guy. But it just seemed weird that it was him leading Wizard's Army as opposed to someone who was, like, an alternate version of, I don't know, Shunpei or Rinko or someone.
Yeah, it was more or less the fact that all of the generals, despite being played by people, were all actual generals in that yeah. era. Mixed with they wanted to get this comedian guy in the movie. Like, I'm pretty sure that was about their only reasoning, is that they're like, oh, we need a comedic character. Let's get this comedy guy in here. He's cool.
I'm sure they also wanted to at least try to make the audience believe that maybe he wasn't that good of a guy, because you know they had the whole thing with Kota not really trusting him. But
I mean, you can't yeah, not trust Shunpei. He's just so Shunpei.
Shoo-pee-pee.
But speaking of Wizard, he was kind of forced into it at the end.
Yep.
Yeah, he just fell in.
Because, I mean, I get the reason why he was there, but it was really kind of a stretch. And I I would have liked to see more interaction between him and Coda. They really didn't interact at all. That, you know. So I thought that was kind of a shame.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. I like seeing the cast interact, and it's about suits interacting. But I'll stop.
Well, in like all these movies, they hardly ever interact. That's always like the most disappointing thing.
They had more interaction in Superhero Taisen 2, or Z, or whatever. Hey, it's a candy bar. He's coming up behind you. On a positive note, you know what else I hated about this movie? I hated the obligatory, what's now like an obligatory giant CGI fight. What did he merged with a tree or something?
Yes.
And, like, it's always so dumb. Like, I don't know why that's a thing now. It seems like at the end of the movie, someone just all of a sudden loses it and becomes giant. I don't know why that has to be a thing now.
I was surprised that the only time we got his henshin noise was when he merged with the tree.
Yeah.
Because he didn't have, an actual actor connected to him. It was just suit.
I bet the tree was really him all along.
I got like pretty far into the movie and I'm like, wait a minute, we haven't even like heard him transform or seen him transform or anything like that. I know he has one.
You spend the entire movie thinking Blood Orange Arms is what he's wearing. In fact, Blood Orange Arms is actually a giant tree.
Plot twist.
There was something I was going to say, and I completely forgot it because we started talking about trees.
Happens.
Yeah, give me time. I'll come back to it.
Okay. I like trees. My favorite is the Jerusalem pine.
My favorite.
I've also found an oak.
I like Christmas trees.
No, I have no idea.
I'm just trying to give... give Brian some time to think of what he was
going
to say.
Oh, got it.
See? It got it. The pun. It got him. He's like, yes, the pun served me.
Horrible timing. Horrible gaming.
See? It's addictive.
So anyway, I like how in the Wizard in Magic Land, the Finish Strike, Final Strike, whatever one Haruto uses, I get them mixed up. The one that lets him do Infinity Dragon, it legitimately just popped out of his ass. Like, it came out of nowhere. There was no build-up to that whatsoever in that movie. And now, all of a sudden, in this movie, when he uses it, he goes Infinity Dragon Gold for Goldemort. No explanation whatsoever.
Gosei gave it to him.
I looked into it, and apparently people are... I don't know if it was ever actually stated somewhere, but people are saying it's because of the Hope Ring inside of him that he's powered up, and so it turned him gold. I don't know. It's a stupid explanation, and it's a stupid form that shouldn't exist.
I like mine, where we didn't hear it, but Gosei was like, you've unlocked gold mode. Like, he just makes up stuff, because he's just constantly printing new powers, but he's got to come up with lessons.
I had forgotten that the Gold Infinity Dragon was a thing until I got to that part in the movie. It really doesn't look good.
It doesn't.
That's another thing. Like, we have the tradition of the dumbass CGI battle, and now we have the tradition, it's going 2 years now, of the ugly-ass forced form. We have this one, and then we had, the two Gaim ones, one of them that looked like purple cold medicine I took when I was little. The one with Nadashiko and the one with not.
Forze, not Gaim.
Yeah, but I was just saying, we have that weird tradition now of, like, these really ugly-looking final forms. And I don't know.
Gaim's final form is going to be Kiwami, except orange.
Oh. And it's going to have a dragon wings for some reason.
I don't think that would look good at all.
It doesn't, and that's the point. It would legitimately look awful. It would basically make Gaim look like a big rainbow pumpkin.
I think he would look more like a KKK member that was sponsored by Nickelodeon.
Wait, I think it's got to be a color that doesn't correspond to the series, because purple didn't really correspond to Forze at all. And gold really wasn't with Wizards, so it's got to be something like Puce.
Don't even know what that is.
Now I'm just thinking of Enter, Mach Puce.
Puce is...
Is it like
it's a color. I just don't know what color.
It sounds like you can't finish saying.
It sounds like a fancy form of puke.
Oh, there's puce and then there's puce green. I think we should go with puce green because it looks like shit.
Sweet. I'm game. Ha.
Classic.
Just like a puke green. Kiwami is going to be his final form. We settled it, guys.
And it's going to have wings that are just orange peels. So it has to fly up to the giant CGI whatever they're going to fight next year. Next year it'll probably be like a giant CGI gas tank or something. I don't know. I'm trying to think of something car related.
I kind of love the idea of wings as orange slices.
Yeah.
This has to happen. Puke green Kiwami with orange wings. I love it. It's so awful.
And you know what? Instead of skis, he gets a snowboard. Because yes. He's cooler.
The snowboard is also
I don't know why you would use it with the wings.
Well, why does Forza need rockets and skis?
Exactly.
Nothing needs to make sense. See? Maymay agrees. Right? Thanks. Fist bump.
I can't remember if this was part of the show or part of the movie, but why didn't Wizard have Infinity?
At the end of... in that special with Decade in it and stuff... He left the Infinity Ring with his alternate universe self.
Right.
The other one. Alternate Haruto one.
I forgot about that. I guess I blocked those episodes out.
And so now this movie wrote in the fact that he has it again. So God, Wizards. The Infinity Ring is just like time hopping. It's like he made one with his tears. Which sounds really badass and awful at the same time.
You know...
And then he gave it to a little kid version of himself from an alternate universe.
Yet again, though, this is all Decade's fault.
It is.
I'm telling you, Narutaki was a genius.
Why was Decade in there?
He came from the future to warn us all that Decade was going to cause all of this. All of these crossovers and shenanigans and misunderstandings.
Narutaki's
and he was right.
Real hero here.
He is. He's from the future. He's not the hero we need, but the hero we deserve. Like, it's funny to think about that he's like a Toku fan from the future that's trying to prevent Decade from causing all this crap. But he just never could do it, so now he's staff and got a puppet and is wandering around Tokyo.
Oh, poor Narutaki.
Like, I want a whole movie around that idea now of Narutaki just being a disgruntled fan. It's kind of funny how right it is, though, because Ryder wasn't nearly this messed up in terms of movies until Decade happened. He started it.
Well, that, and now you have anybody who comes in via Decade, which there are quite a few people who do, you know, get like a bunch of misconceptions about, you know, what's canon and what isn't.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's their first experience with all of those different writers, which is so inaccurate.
Yeah, because I think I missed the part where Hibiki turned into a monster in the middle of the series. So I don't think that happened. Fies most certainly did not take place at high school.
And there was only one lawyer in Ryuki.
I wonder what made them think that. Let's make them all lawyers. Brilliant.
Like, super fighting lawyers. I'm sorry.
Hey, let's make all of Agito's writers one guy. Okay.
Okay.
They were on a budget.
All of them will be one guy.
It's Shoichi with a beard.
I Then it will be the same. We'll just have a different guy because we can't.
And we'll
get
have an alternate reality Blade, but then we'll bring in the real Blade.
And they'll be like, "What?" And then we'll say, "We're going to explain everything in this fake trailer." You want answers?
We shoots Decade in the head, but not really.
Oniro Decado, right, guys? Oniro, get it? Oniro. That's what I used to say.
This is. Devolved into a Decade discussion.
See? It's all his fault. He ruined everything.
He ruined my life.
Again, no follow-up.
I don't need a follow-up. I am the follow-up. Yep.
I don't know what that means.
Someone follows up and you think that of me? I am the one who follows.
Yeah. What?
Exactly. It's like breaking Twitter. I don't know.
Okay.
Wow, guys. This podcast.
That was fun.
This is amazing. I don't know what you're talking about.
We matter.
The points like don't matter.
It's like they almost specifically don't mention us. Can't wait to hear everyone's thoughts but the RR podcast. Thanks. We have thoughts. Life.
That fly keeps hitting me in the ear and it's really annoying.
He's trying to find a home. Oh, look, there's the door. Bzzz. Damn it. Didn't get it in. Alright, let's go back again.
I don't know if you guys are like talking about anybody specific, but we have been getting mentioned by more people, at least lately.
And I love every one of you guys that do that.
Oh, we're still recording.
Yes. Oh, we're still here. You guys shouldn't be here. You guys should have moved on to Ramble Time or Garo's Corner or whatever's
around. Garo. Garo. Yeah,
whoops.
Yeah, whoops.
Yeah. Sorry. It's a corner. It's hard to miss. You're walking down the hallway and you're like, look, there's Ramble Time. And then there's a girl in the corner just being like, Garo.
But if it's a hallway, then the corner, you would,
don't argue
you would have
hallway
to
physics
see it because
me.
You turn the corner.
But
I
is our podcast a maze?
Yes. Actually, that's
is there
really
more than one corner? I'm confused.
I don't have any further rebuttals at this time, but I'll come back to you. I'll have to take that question.
Okay. Because now it's time for Gato's Corner. God, I hate that.
It just keeps getting longer.
Yeah.
So this episode was called Manga.
Wonder what it was about.
Anime.
Oh, obviously.
So many people get those confused. It saddens me. But about the episode. I enjoyed it. There really wasn't anything plot heavy happening again. I forget, are we like 12, 13 episodes in now?
I think this is 12. Checking over time. No, this is 11.
11, okay. Just while I like this episode and last week was, you know, just okay, they really need to step it up a bit.
They really do. Like, the last season was just so good. And, I mean, even the first and second series were really good, and this, I like the characters, or at least I like Raiga. But like, there's just nothing going on. We're 11 episodes in, and the only thing that we have is they're trying to find the seed of Eris or whatever. Like, that's all we got. And I feel like there needs to be something else going on, or something that should be happening at this point. It's just all a bunch of, like, one-shot episodes.
Not only is that, you know, their only goal at the moment, but, heck, like, last week, they found one of the shards off screen. Like, that's how important the plot is right now. Just not. But no, this episode, I enjoyed it. I would say, you know, like, being a fan of manga made me enjoy it more, but to a certain extent it did, with the, like, visual effects. I liked how they were done, to sort of look like a manga page. In fact, the final fight is really fun, because it kind of shifts back and forth between live action and manga panels. Mm-hmm. And he's like summoning sound effects and using them as weapons. That I was waiting for that. I was waiting for it because all throughout the episode, I'm like, it's such a missed opportunity if they don't do something with sound effects, because there's such a like noticeable part of manga, mm-hmm. that it would feel odd without them. And then he finally like was making noise and then like throwing the sound effects at him, like shuriken, and then like dropping sound effects on him. It was actually kind of fun. Yeah. But yeah, there's, in terms of plot, there's not too much to talk about.
Yeah. Like it's the fight scene and the effects in general of the horror turning, everyone into like just a flat, like manga sketch, was really cool and made the episode worth a watch. But there's nothing else to go off of.
Yeah.
The fucking credits.
Yeah, in the credits, they decided to put a scene with Mayuri having, I guess, like troubles or whatever. I guess she was having like pain or something and then eating something to get rid of it, but why would they put that in the credits?
I don't know. Like, it looked like she was pulling a Yoko. Like, oh, my energy, he's a cookie. And that's the vibe I got, but I don't know why that would be in there. Because this wasn't an established thing. It's not like, oh, she gets worn out or something. No, she was flipping through a manga, Gonza stole it, and started having a seizure.
At first, I honestly thought that she was just being, like, dramatic, just for the sake of a joke. Like, Gonza takes her a manga magazine and walks off with it, and it's like, oh, why did he take it, kind of thing. But no, it turned out to be just like legit. It's just so weird that they would put something like that in the credits as opposed to the actual episode.
Yeah, I'm wondering if that's ever going to get touched upon. Like, it seems important, and and I don't really know what they're trying to get at. And I don't know. Whatever. It was weird. It was like, you told me ahead of time, you're like, oh, something weird happens in the credits. I'm like, okay, what's going on? I'm like, I just see Gonza take it. I'm like, okay. And then she's like, oh, no, heart. And I'm like, well, okay. So that was really weird. I don't get it, but whatever. Like, yep. It was fun, but again, like we said earlier, he needs to pick up the pace.
This episode was very similar to the movie episode, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
In that there's nothing plot related whatsoever going on, but it's kind of fun to watch.
Yeah.
It just, like, from a visual standpoint, it's really neat. To see like how they used their theme for that episode. But yeah, I really want to like this season, because like you said, I like Raiga. I think having the new protagonist be the child of the previous ones could have been so much more interesting.
Yeah.
And even in this episode, I think it could have been so much more interesting had more than just a single line of dialogue been given to the fact that his mother was an artist. That was such a big asset to the first season.
I know.
And it's like, oh yeah, my mother used to draw or something like that. And that was it. That's all he said. Like, great, okay. Next week, hopefully, we'll pick it up a bit.
Hopefully.
I was going through TV Nihon's wiki for this episode. Apparently, the guy who played the number one manga artist.
Yeah.
The licky guy. apparently, that's what he's known for, is being like a. He's known for his tongue, essentially.
Oh, that's weird and slightly sexual.
Because I was looking through, because some of the actors seem familiar.
I always have to check, because they always seem familiar to me. I'm like, I gotta look.
The guy, the horror, was in Daimajin Kanin. So that was bugging me the entire episode. I'm like, this guy looks so familiar. Where is he from? But yeah, the tongue guy, that's, they essentially got him specifically for that part. That's so, it's so odd that that would be what he's known for, is his tongue.
He's definitely good at it. As much as I hate saying that, I'm like, oh god.
That actually reminds me of some of the manga that was shown off in this episode. His was like a magical girl manga, but it was all about how she'd lick them. And the one that they showed at the beginning that the guy who would become the horror was working on was called something like Dragon Defense Attorney. Which sounded just so out there that I kind of want to read it.
I would. It's like Phoenix Wright with dragons.
So yeah, that was Garo this week.
I like how we spent a majority of this discussion talking about like random odds and ends in this episode because there's nothing else to talk about.
I wish there was. I wish there was more.
I do too. I really do, but alas. Here's now. It's time for ramble time.
Yeah, so excited. We have like two things to talk about.
Just TMNT, I think.
But next week, Falling Skies is back, so we'll be able to talk about creepy alien babies that grow fast.
That is true. I'm really excited.
Yes, it's going to be
pretty good. Just because a show that I am actually caught up with is coming back. I don't get this excitement.
He catches up on a show once every 2 years, so it's pretty exciting.
I got through that show pretty fast. That was when I had more time on my hands. I didn't have to worry about cleaning houses and
trying to become a maid.
My life. Yes, I'm a maid.
No, I'm just picturing Brian with the maid outfits from Raising Hope. Okay. Oh no, he found me, Ben. Hide me, Brian.
Hide me in your bosom. I'm large. I think you can hide. Yeah, Pokemon was really stupid about videos or something, so nothing worth there. Thankfully, TMT.
Teenage Mutant Turtles. They're now just a bunch of teenagers that have teenage problems.
Thankfully, that was really enjoyable.
It was. We got sort of the pre-introduction to who's going to be Bebop and Rocksteady. They're going to develop Batman later. It's going to be a great game series. Sorry, I can't resist making that joke. It's so lame. And we got a little bit backstory on Shredder's helmet. Helmets have backstories. And we got to see Shredder's ugly face.
It's weird. He looks so plain without his helmet.
He does. Yeah. I hate it.
Like, even though he's all like burned and scarred up and everything, he actually looks more plain than normal.
Like he looks like with those action figures where they're supposed to have their helmet on, but you can take it off, but they didn't plan for you to take it off. So it's just like two eyes and a bunch of melted plastic. Poor Shredder.
It kind of is, because, I mean, just the art style doesn't really lend itself to, like a burned face. So it kind of just looks like he, like, had a really awful dye incident. And like, he just splashed purple dye on his face. He's like, oh, fuck, I'm purple. And like, that's the vibe I get from that design. But, I like how we got backstory on a helmet of all things. We're like, let's explain his helmet.
All great helmets have a backstory. Silver Stripe, Magneto's, this one.
Despite how silly it sounds, it was an interesting episode, though.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. It took a kind of weird plot, like, oh, they stole his helmet, oh no. And actually, like, did a lot of story with it. Because, like you mentioned, we got the Steranko and Zach, which is eventually going to be Bebop and Rhapsody, obviously.
That's what I said, because I didn't know their real names. And Black Eye and Russian.
I like them. We haven't got a whole lot from Steranko yet, but Zach is a really weird character.
I dig him a lot. He's got some, like, the whole technology that he has is really weird. It's not really stuff that we've seen from this show before. Like, it doesn't really match any of the other technology that we've seen. So it's odd.
He can throw a laser version of his mohawk at people.
It's badass. It's like, that's what Hawkmon used to do, sort of.
I really like him. He's a fun character and kind of a different sort of representation of Bebop. So it'll be fun to see eventually.
There's also some funny little like character moments. Like I liked that like Shredder's henchmen were talking about how ugly he looks. Like they wanted to get the helmet back so they didn't have to look at him. I thought that was funny. And why couldn't Baxter talk? Couldn't he talk before?
I'm going to assume that they just couldn't get or didn't want to get Phil Lamar for this episode.
Did he insult somebody else? Man, they just can't get it going with this show. So much controversy.
Well, Phil Lamar's not cheap, I would imagine.
It's funny because he looked so sad. He was like, buzz, buzz.
He decided to embrace the fly. I really dug the interaction between Tiger Claw and Razar.
Yeah.
When they were talking about Fish Face, it was just hilarious.
Because they're talking back and forth about how they don't have to be like mean to each other just because they're a dog and a cat. And then they immediately say, but I do want to eat Fish Face because he's a fish.
It's kind of like be tolerant of other people's opinions, especially your friends. I like Paul Blart. Well, I don't like you.
And then they jumped off the side of the building, and you just hear Razar go, I just want to eat him to shut him up.
Hashtag Tizar.
That was pretty fun. I like that. Fishface and Baxter Stockman didn't get a whole lot of
funny moments.
He was just kind of flying around spitting up acid at everyone and being gross.
And it was pretty obvious as soon as he brought Not Karai with a bag overhead that it wasn't going to be her. Like, whenever they bring the hostage out and their face is covered, have they not watched any movies? It was so obvious that it wasn't going to be her. But she's going to break out with the quarter, so it's all good. But it was just funny how obvious it was. But I'm glad they at least picked it up this episode, you know, because a lot of the times certain storylines, they'll have something like, oh, someone's been kidnapped, and they'll be really lax about it. Like April's dad. Like, oh, we'll get to him eventually. Oh, he's been mutated. We'll get first, let's get April to not be mad at us. Then we'll worry about her dad later. Like, Poor April's dad. Still weighing his, like, season 3 dilemma. But I don't think there's a whole lot else. I enjoyed the episode. There was that news about, you know, Jason Biggs is officially going to be replaced. He's been subbed in for a few episodes by some guy who's doing a great job, and now he's going to be Seth Green. Which I like Seth Green. I'm kind of curious how it's going to sound. Like, is he going to try to match it, or is he going to make it his own? Are they going to have a storyline about how everyone else hears him the way he used to be, but he hears himself differently, like Beetleborg style? I don't know. I thought it was funny, but really not.
To everyone else, it's normal, but to us, it's different. Thanks, Flavor.
It's kind of a shame because, well, A, I like Jason Biggs as Leo. I thought he did a good job with the voice. But the guy that was subbing for him was, like, a perfect sound alike. So I don't know why, like, what the issue is of just keeping him.
That is a little odd that they chose to not just keep the sound alike. But
because it was pretty perfect.
At the very least, Seth Green is, like, he has done voice acting, plenty of voice acting. So he's not, like, bad at it.
It'll just be kind of different, I assume. I didn't do too much research. Like, I looked at the first few results, and I was reading or trying to find out why specifically he left. And the only thing I found was a controversy from, like, a year ago where he made other previous comments, and Nickelodeon had, like, apologized for him because I guess, like, this one Ninja Turtles account promoted his Twitter. And then, like, what's he's got to say? And he's like, and then the vagina stabs it. And like, he's talking about all this stuff. Because he's got a pretty open Twitter. It's kind of a shame. But we'll see how it goes. And they did get renewed for a fourth season. Thank God I was getting worried. because we're not even done with season 2 yet. Season 3 was announced, like, the day of the season 1 premiere. So...
premiere episode. But, all of a sudden they're like, season 2 confirmed, fuck yeah, this show is great. And it is. It's a great show. But,
well, it is pretty nice to have at least one show that we know won't be going away anytime soon. We may get a little bit of hiatus here and there, but at least we'll have 4 seasons.
Yeah. 4 seasons in a movie? One thing that also is nice, which I haven't, you know, that I remember seeing Nickelodeon do anything like that, but it's nice to know that this particular show is being renewed for a fourth season, and they won't try to make a new series that's closer to the movies like Disney did with the Avengers. So that's a nice thing, that we know that they're not going to stop after season 3 and make a new one.
We've seen that happen to, like, way too many shows where the movie has affected it or gotten in the way somehow. I mean, that happened with Green Lantern as well.
Yeah, it's pretty annoying.
It affected their ability to sell toys.
But it's kind of good to know we have that security there. Like, I've never really seen them do anything like that. Granted, they don't handle a whole lot of superhero or action shows like that, where it's not like they're gonna retool iCarly because the iCarly movie changed shit. Carly wore a new outfit, we gotta retool it. that makes me happy, and like Aristotle said, it is nice to know you have the one show that's secure, because especially the cartoon shows we watch, they're all been so have such bad luck. Speaking of cartoon shows, I actually meant to mention this last week during Ramble Time, but did you guys see the new Korra Book 3 trailer?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that was pretty... I can't remember very much specific about it because it's been so long, but I'm excited.
The one There's some airbending thing kids.
I was saying airbending people.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Nope, that's what I was going to say. So.
I saw a couple people talking about that, about what it had to do with, whether it had to do with the spirit things, or maybe they were, it was like Lost Airbenders or something. Maybe. And can you imagine if Aang really wasn't the Last Airbender and there was like a secret clan living somewhere, people would flip out. Aang's not special anymore. They ruined everything.
That's basically the plot of Rio 2. These aren't the last birds. There's a whole fucking colony of birds.
Well, my whole life has been a lie.
It is. I mean, I'm definitely looking forward to it. Episodes got leaked, but obviously I'm not going to watch them. Yeah, especially since they were like a chunk in the middle. It was like 3 to 6 or something. It wasn't the beginning, and I'm like, I want to save the joy of
watching it live.
Korra.
Yeah, so I'm pretty excited. The trailer got me excited. There were some really cool looking scenes in it. Looks like they're going to a bunch of different locations and stuff. So,
have you caught up on Arc 5 yet?
No.
No, okay. I just did today. Yeah, I watched the 3 episodes I had left to watch.
I know that I had intentions on it because you told me about that twist about him fighting, or a different version of him fighting someone or something like that. Has it been any more intriguing past that?
It's gone on with, I keep forgetting her name. It's, Yuza? I don't know. Girl. where essentially she's been having problems because he has now been accused of attacking those students because, you know, he looks the same as the alternate version of himself or whatever it was.
Yeah.
So she's been conflicted about whether or not, you know, he's telling the truth or whether or not she should, you know, chime in and say, yeah, he was there. it's mostly just been the two schools have been having students battle each other.
Uh-huh.
To see whether or not, you know, the big LDS school takes over the small school. It's really not very interesting. It's not really much else has really been expanded on with the whole, like, alternate Yuya thing.
Yeah.
I am curious to see what it is, because it's not, just based on how the episode was, it's not like an alternate personality kind of thing. Like, it's not a Yami kind of thing where he just sort of changed because he wasn't even there.
Yeah.
They showed him like halfway across town. So it seems to be more connected to the girl than it is to Yuya.
But unless it was just a recording of him and he was actually in the cab the whole time. Doppelgangers. Hi, my mother. Anyway, it could be like a future version of him or something. I don't know. I'll probably try to catch up on it, and because I'm intrigued by that. It's just, and I guess it is still fairly early on for a lot to be going on, but you know, up to the point, yeah. I watched, it's just there was nothing that had me intrigued. Like, even Zexal, like, it was super annoying a lot of the time, but its main plot had me intrigued enough to come back for the time that I watched it. And there's not a whole lot about it other than what you told me about the doppelganger has me like wanting to find out about the mysteries of the show.
Right now, like I said, they're having their students battle each other. So it's three unknown students from this, you know, that big LDS school, which I keep wanting to call LSD.
LSD school.
And each of those students use a different type of summoning, so Synchro, Fusion, and Exceed.
That's cool.
And they already got through the first two, so now it's the Synchro guy versus I can't remember his name. He's the big, like, he's the big dude. He's like the weird man that keeps hanging around them.
Apparently,
he's not even like a student. He's just some guy that's hanging around. But it's him versus the Synchro Summon kid.
Sounds like a really lame superhero name.
So it'll be, I don't even know if they've given him a name. So it'll be interesting to see him actually duel for once.
Yeah.
That's about it. Really, not much has happened.
Maybe it'll get better. at least find out about alternate Yuya. Oh, I just dropped that. But I think that's pretty much it for Ramble Time until next week of Falling Skies, and then Pokemon will continue to have nothing happen. Like, Serena still hasn't caught a Pokemon beyond Firefox. Fennekin, there we go. Sorry. I needed to buy time for myself.
Is Turtles on break again, or is there an episode next week?
Let me check real quick. There should be an episode. There is an episode next week, as far as I remember.
Oh, okay.
Because I thought the season was ending. Let's see. There should be an episode this week, and then the finale should be the week after.
Oh.
According to Wikipedia, anyway. Let me check.
Is it going to be like...
Wikis aren't accurate.
Like, then it's on hiatus for the rest of the summer, or is it going to be like that weird thing where season 1 and 2 only had a few weeks between them?
I think it's going to be off for a while, because season 3 doesn't have a premiere date yet.
Man, Ramble Time can't take any more hits!
Then again, this might be tentative, because it said season 2 doesn't have a finale date yet. Oh no, it's not anywhere close to finale. I'm fucking stupid. I'm sorry. That's just what we know of. I'm just an asshole. Ignore me. But we do have one this Sunday and one next Sunday.
Okay, that's good. At least there's that.
What the fuck's going on with Ben 10?
I don't know. I'm going to assume it's on hiatus for the summer. I can't remember whether it aired consistently last summer or not. Because its schedule, honestly, people complain about PR. Ben 10 has the most random schedule I've ever seen. Like, since Alien Force, it's been, like, completely random. Like, I really don't hear anything until a couple weeks before it comes back.
If it keeps going, it'll end up coming back during, like, October. And they've already passed up all the episodes.
The Halloween ones? Oh, that'd be great. Like... the only thing I know is that during that arc, the 10-episode arc, was that multiple Ben storyline, and it was supposed to air, but they decided to... Derek Wyatt said they wanted to push it for the 10th anniversary thing. So maybe they just don't know what they're doing now. They're like, do we just not air anything until then, or do we start airing the next arc? So I have no idea what's going on. It's pretty random.
When would the 10th anniversary be?
I don't know. I thought it was next year. That's why I was confused. Because Ben 10 premiered in 2005, so I'm like, that's a long time to push it. I actually kind of assumed... Well, I guess actually Omniverse has quite a bit of episodes to air still, but for some reason I was speculating that they were just going to announce a new season when the 10th anniversary happened. But Omniverse, I think, has quite a bit left. Because I think it's got like 80 episodes total ordered. So I'm not sure. I guess it all depends on when they're celebrating it. But if it is next year, that... Oh, Lord. That's quite a while to push it. the soothing sounds. Okay, we're going to make a tape and we're going to sell it so that you can fall asleep easier.
We've got actually descriptions of... Like the 10 episodes for the next season. There's just one sentence descriptions, but.
Because last time I saw it was just titles.
One is called Blue Kick and Driva Go to Area 51.
Oh my god, that sounds amazing.
That's fun.
I don't know what's going on with Ben 10 in general anymore, with the toys and everything. It's just.
Your beloved franchise has turned into a mess.
I know, it really has. It was really consistent before. Like, we talked about this yesterday, but PR toys and stuff don't come out on a certain exact date schedule, but there's still sort of like a sort of like clockwork thing of when the certain time of year things come out, and Ben 10 was the same way, and now they just completely stopped. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how the future goes, because as far as I know, it's still doing good in terms of ratings and everything. I mean, it's still a pretty popular brand, so I'm kind of curious where it goes from here, both show-wise and product-wise. the world may never know until we do, when we find out. Anywho.
Oh. I guess it means we're doing the caption contest now.
Yep.
Yeah, because now it's time for the RR caption contest. Woo!
I forgot that had a jingle.
Everything has a jingle.
I think it changes every week. If I remember, I don't remember anything, though. So
everything changes every week now, because I can't keep a consistent tone.
It's true that. So our lovely picture this week is of a sort of drowsy or drugged out Datus. I guess it just depends on what you see. But speaking of drugged out, the one I chose to read is my favorite, Cetus Lepidus, a.k.a. Caesar R. Cespedes. Cocaine's a hell of a drug.
I always thought that the status looked more annoyed than anything else.
Oh, I see. It depends on how your mind works. You see him as annoyed. I see him as just kind of sleepy. Oh, the drug thing works like that. Could be interpreted multiple ways. Apparently some people think he's excited. I don't know.
He looks like me in the morning. he just started going out. Fuck. I liked Kiefer's. He says, really? Ghost Say Knight gets to become the Mecha Mac Daddy of the universe in PR, but the only role I have is a randomly appearing robotic backpack.
Poor Datus.
You could have been a hero.
Boku on backpack.
And I picked Eric Beltran's. Is Kevin done yet with his one-ups?
It's so fitting for today's. I'm sorry if that's mean, but I'm mean, and it was funny. That was my face during it.
All right. Also, a quick, just want to read Peter Lee's real quick. He put Data. Datus is not amused by your bullshit Ghost Ager antics.
Oh, and I forgot to address, Rhodey Taylor Gage, Ghost Ager's what? Feels like it just needs to be, in Ghost Ager's what? I got to know! Or not, it really doesn't matter.
I think you just meant in Ghost Ager. Like,
I know, but the way it reads, it's like in Ghost Ager's. Like, Ghost Ager's what?
Bum.
Ghost Ager has a bum?
Like the entire show.
Ghost Ager is a bum.
Oh, I'm talking about a hobo, not an actual anus.
Oh.
Now it's time for...
Final things!
Final things, MP3.
He's not awake. Why are we waiting?
I was hoping that like he would spring to life like in the movies and be like, final thingies. Okay, so usual spiels. Participate in the next caption contest. Send in Twitter questions whenever you feel like it. Seize party, whatever you want to do.
If you have funny pictures, go ahead and tweet them at the RR account.
Yep. Do stuff. Vote. When you vote again, I don't think voting's coming up.
Vote?
I don't know. I was trying to think of activities for people to do.
I was going to say, we've never had them vote.
Well, in your local election, you know, it's important. Wow.
I'm going to be running for mayor.
He's going to be running against that bitch assistant. What was her name from Animal Crossing? Isabel. Isabel, I'm making music.
Hello,
season
welcome
five.
To...
We're going to do it all in one night.
Entire season box set.
Pre-order now.
I want a box set of our whole season. I don't know what will be in the box, but...
Special features include all the recorded footage of our conversations outside the podcast. Over 70% is just breathing and squeaking noises.
You said just breathing, and I seriously heard the word jizz, so...
Jizz
over over 70% is jizz.
Okay, ready?
Yep.
Sorry.
Apparently not.
I was reading this line. I think the show Kamen Rider Gaim is a morally bankrupt toy advertisement that does nothing to furnish good lessons to young viewers.
Furnish?
No.
that's the word you point out.
Well, it's funny, like, to use it that way. I'm just like, well, what do their houses have to do with this? Like, like, doesn't teach kids how to buy a proper couch. I get it.
No, it teaches them how to buy a proper couch. Well, no, it teaches them how to buy a couch, just not the right couch. A very amoral couch. A couch sold by the devil, if you will.
AKA Michi. I want Michi as a couch salesman. What? I want Michi as the new head of American Furniture Warehouse.
He's already the face of Breeze.
Oh, gee. We're so easily distracted. It's hilarious.